Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today is basically the entirety of the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. Everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and do not take an oath at all." This is our text. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, I think you would agree with me that the Sermon on the Mount is the most famous sermon ever preached, except for maybe one done by Pastor Heinert. A couple of those might have been even better. The Sermon on the Mount does have the advantage of being delivered by Jesus, the greatest preacher ever. And second, it's recorded in the Bible, the best-selling book of all time. The Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, and it continues all the way through Matthew chapter 7, where Matthew records the reaction of the crowd to that sermon. Matthew writes in chapter 7, verse 28, "And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had had authority and not as their scribes." I dare say that no one has ever been astonished at one of my sermons, but that's another point. Our text for today is part of that Sermon on the Mount, part of that greatest sermon ever preached. But if we were just focusing on these verses for today, it is virtually impossible to present a good sermon on this text. And I'll tell you why. Because this text is 100% all law. Now, to be sure, Pastor Eastman, our founding pastor back in 1905, he would have had a thrill preaching this sermon, because they loved preaching fire and brimstone back in that day. But in the day we live in today, it just wouldn't go over too well. A proper sermon needs to be balanced with law and gospel. The law shows us our sin and our need for a Savior. And the gospel, well, the gospel shows us who that Savior is. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But as I said, if you look through those 16 verses that make up our text for today, it is 100% all law. And it's not just mild, easy law either. It is difficult and impossible to live up to that kind of law. For instance, Jesus begins the text by reminding us that you shall not murder. Now, that's what I mean by mild and easy kind of law. We all know that we shouldn't murder. I am assuming we don't have any murderers in the house today. So that's something we can actually do. We can keep that commandment. But then Jesus expounds on the spirit of the commandment. And he says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to council. Whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." So not only are we not allowed to murder our neighbor, but we're not allowed to be angry with him or her. We can't insult them in any way. We can't even call them any kind of name. And that, my dear friends, is what I mean by a law that is difficult and impossible to live up to. I mean, I consider myself a pretty laid-back person. I don't really get angry that often. But there are still times when, yeah, I'll get a little angry. I think we all do. But Jesus tells us in this text that we shouldn't. I mean, in heaven, I'm pretty sure up in heaven we're not going to get angry. But down here on earth, surrounded by sin, it's going to happen from time to time. But the text doesn't end there. We all know and agree with Jesus that we should not commit adultery. We need to remain faithful to our spouses and to our vows to them. But again, Jesus reminds us of the spirit of the law, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You want to talk about being difficult and impossible to follow? I mean, we would all have to turn off our television sets so that we don't see some attractive person that might give us some thoughts. I mean, we would even have to stop walking through the grocery store unless we run into somebody that makes our mind wander a little ways. I mean, we would never do anything. We would never act on it. But Jesus tells us that we shouldn't even have the thoughts. And that is very difficult and almost impossible. Jesus then reminds us that divorce is wrong. In the world today, it's a multi-billion dollar business. But once again, those marriage vows are sacred and should be kept. Jesus goes even on by telling us that taking an oath is wrong, telling us that let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. So you see, this text on its own is virtually impossible to preach on. I mean, Jesus is right in everything he says. Murder, anger, insults, adultery, lust, oaths, they are all wrong. I mean, this is the Bible we're talking about. And we hold it up as God's word. And if God says something's wrong, then it's wrong. You see, he created the world. So he gets to make the rules. He is the ultimate authority. But in order to deal with this text correctly, we need to bring in some gospel. We need to really look at the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount in order to bring in some gospel for our lesson today. In contrast for our text for today, the Sermon on the Mount begins with all gospel. Those beatitudes at the beginning of Matthew 5, those are all pure and simple gospel. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth." Jesus is pronouncing upon them blessings. You see, that word there, blessed, doesn't mean what remember the good news for modern man? It translated that word as happy. No, that doesn't even come close. The word blessed is closer to our word for salvation or redemption. So redeemed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is actually pronouncing on them and telling them, you are blessed. And that, my friends, is pure gospel. Then after that comes the text that Pastor Ganey preached on last week, where Jesus declares again, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And again, those are declarations, statements of fact, not wishes. Those are not commands telling you you need to be the salt of the earth. No, they are statements telling you that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So we are, and we always will be, the salt of the earth. And we are, and always will be, the light of the world. So it is only after all of this gospel, all of this blessing, all of this proclamation that Jesus does get down to the law. But understand, Jesus doesn't present this law to make us feel bad. Jesus doesn't present this law to make us feel insignificant. The reason why Jesus gives us all of this law here is to show us how to please God, to show us what God expects of his baptized children of God. God's children don't murder. God's children don't commit adultery. Neither do they get angry or insult or call people names or lust after someone other than their spouses. But you see, it's all a work in progress. It's something that we work on while we're in this sinful world. You see, we all know from confirmation class that there are three uses of the law. There's the curb, there's the mirror, there's the guide. Well, this is not the mirror of the law telling us and revealing to us our sin. This is the guide part, the third use of the law that is just simply showing us how God's people are supposed to live. The real gospel is that because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have forgiveness for all of our sins. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins of murder, adultery, lust, anger, insult, and name-calling will all be forgiven. Now, this doesn't give us free rein to go out and do those things. Well, Jesus forgave us, so yeah, let's go. No. It does give us the assurance that we are forgiven children of God who have eternal life waiting for us. God loves us. And because he loves us, he sent his son Jesus. And in all of his time here on earth, Jesus never murdered anyone. Jesus never got angry at anyone. Jesus never insulted anyone. Jesus never called anybody any names. Obviously, Jesus never committed adultery. He never even lusted in his heart. We know that because 3 days after he died on the cross, he rose from the dead to show us and to prove to us that our salvation is complete. The Sermon on the Mount is a great, great text. It has so much to teach us, but it really needs to be taken as a whole. You see, Jesus didn't just sit down on the side of the mountain and deliver to the crowd the Beatitudes and then get up and leave. And neither did Jesus sit down and preach about salt and light and then stop the message and end right there. And Jesus didn't sit down and start telling people not to murder, don't be angry, don't insult, don't commit adultery or lust, and just end it right there. It was all one long sermon that they all sat and listened to, intended to show them God's love and forgiveness and some of the greatest gifts that God has. The life of a Christian isn't easy. We know it's impossible to live up to God's demands, but that's exactly why God sent his son Jesus. Jesus came here to do what is impossible for us to do, to keep all of those commandments perfectly on our behalf and to pay the penalty for our sin. That was Jesus' task. Our task is simply to put our faith and trust in Jesus alone and then to sit back and receive all of God's blessings. And especially that blessing of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.